Hey, we gotta move today because we have something dramatic. I gotta tell you, we've got the full lineup this morning, and I just want to give a context to what's going to happen to close our service. Will be very moving to you. I've already seen it. Have never seen it before, but it'll be moving to you. So let's, as the choir's leaving, let's move right into our scripture. They're going to be joining us down there. Revelation 17:14. Revelation 17:14. Let's just stand just real quick, just a second. I know you stood up to the glory of God, but let's stand to the reading of God's word. Revelation 17:14 says, "They'll make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings, and with Him will be His called, chosen, and faithful followers." You may be seated. A little boy was sick on Sunday morning and had to stay home from church, and it was Palm Sunday. His father returned from church holding one of those palm branches that we have. The little boy was curious and asked his dad, "Why do you have that branch in your hand, Dad?" Dad said, "You see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved the palm branches to honor Him, so we got palm branches today." The little boy replied, "Oh, no. The one Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus shows up." Well, I'm glad you showed up today. I think He shows up every week, but we're glad you showed up through the snow and the ice. Jesus showed up in Jerusalem, and the crowds praised Him. They were on their feet. And what the crowds were seeing, what the crowds were experiencing was the literal Lamb of God. They didn't really get it yet, but they were praising Him as He rode in on that little donkey. And in a few days, we all know the story, He would become the sacrificial Lamb. The sacrificial Lamb that laid down His life for the redemption of you and me and our children. Everybody. He is the Lamb. In the book of Revelation, we see a verse, a prophetic verse about the Lamb and our Savior and our King. The title of our message is "A Lamb Who Would Be King." It says, "He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings." On Thursday night, I was with 30 or 40 folks. We went to a Denver Nugget game. I tell you, what about those Nuggets? 15-game winning streak. And we thought that streak was going to come to an end, and we were with all of our friends, and there were 10 seconds left, and this guy, this really tall young man by the name of Corey Brewer, scored 6 points in 10 seconds, you know? I couldn't score 10 points in an NBA game in ever. And he scored the points, and we were on our feet, and you would have thought he was Jesus Christ at the end, you know? We rose and we worshiped, and he really is a pretty good guy. I'm not saying he thought that, but there was praise going on in that Pepsi Arena for mere men. First of all, the praise of the Lamb. And this is what the crowd did. Matthew 21:9-10 says, "The crowds would have headed him, and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.' Hosanna," they said, "in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd praised Him as King. They were hopeful. They thought He was coming as King that day. They thought He was going to overturn the government. They thought they were so hopeful. He gave them hope. And you know what today? I know there is no better place to find hope than in Jesus Christ. He is our hope. And if your hope is built on something other than Jesus, you're not on the solid ground, as we say. Because He is the hope. And they were hopeful. And the book of Revelation says He is the Lamb, the Lord, and the King. You see, the crowds really didn't know Jesus yet, did they? There was emotion like we've had today, and there was hope. But you see, when we really know Him as King, and I think I felt this morning, and we're going to talk about worship in April. We're already planning something about worship. But it's more than emotion, isn't it, friends? It's more than a talented young man and a great choir and a Wednesday night practice. When we rise and truly worship him, it's not to show off, you know. It's not to show somebody how religious. When we know him as king, we can't help but praise him, right? And we're not talking about emotion, and we're not talking about showing off. But when you know him as Lord, it is proper, it is right, and we should praise him. I remember a week ago, Saturday night, the Gaither thing. All of you were here, 3,400 people. I don't know how many were here. I heard the fire marshal was here, and he was really nice to us that night. We had him in the aisles, but it was great to be around people. Church is great, isn't it? Concerts are great, and we can praise the Lord. Well, we can praise him. And then it says, they'll make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. Saeed Abedini. Think maybe right, that American Iranian descent pastor that's imprisoned in Iran, right? And they've said to him, just denounce Jesus and we'll let you go. But he's standing up for what he believes. Secondly, the Lamb will overcome. And we see this Christ, and as we've walked the last several weeks, the words of Christ, we see how determined Jesus is to do the Father's will. Before Pilate, as we know the story, you know, Pilate's this kind of weak fellow that's in charge of everything, but he's perplexed about Jesus, and he really doesn't want to send him to the gallows, does he? He doesn't want to send him to the cross. And he says, basically, and I'm you know, saying it in my own way, but Jesus, just denounce this thing, and I'll let you go. He's done nothing wrong, and he wrung his hands, and he washed his hands, and he just said, if he only would have said, I'm not the Messiah, just let him go. But he wouldn't do it. You see, Jesus overcame by submitting to the Father's will, the Father's plan. That's so hard for me sometimes. That's so hard for you and I. I know that we want to be strong, and we want to be courageous, and we want to do things for the Lord, and yet he says, I want you to submit. Well, I don't want to submit in this way, God. I don't want to suffer. I just want to be out on top, on front, you know. I don't really want to suffer. And God says, if you're going to do my plan, if you're going to live this life, there will come times and you're going to have to walk through the tough, dark times. And that's going to take submission. You see, I don't think, and I'm not a robot, and I know that most of you aren't robots, I think. But I don't think we can live this life successfully for Christ without submission. I don't believe we can make it through without some suffering. You know, this is a fickle crowd on this Palm Sunday. Not here, but back then. And you know what they wanted? They were happy to see him. You know what? Because we heard this guy gives free lunch. He show up, he'll do a miracle. We don't have to buy lunch that day, you know. And there were many others that came to see him do the miracle. And some of them had the hurt arm or the hurt leg or the hurt mind or whatever it is. And we heard say that this man, he'd heal our bodies. And so they wanted Jesus to heal their bodies. And that's why they showed up. But the point of the matter is what if Jesus doesn't heal the body? And what if he doesn't provide all the food that we think we need? What if he doesn't do the miracle? Are we the fickle crowd that on Friday we disperse and we scatter because he's on the cross now and we can't figure that out? And they came against him then. I dare say some of the same people in Pilate's court were the same people that met Jesus on the road to Jerusalem and said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Lunch has arrived. He's going to do a miracle. And yet on Friday, where are they? They're the jeering crowd, many of them. Let's not be that. Are you the fickle crowd? Are we the folks that if things just don't go right in the church or even in our life, you know, the whole Jesus thing, I'm not sure about it. As soon as Jesus provides lunch, then I'll believe in him again. As soon as he shows up and answers the prayer the way I prayed it, then I'll believe in him again. You see, the world will always come against the Lamb. Always. And I dare say today in free America and in Christian America, there is a growing crowd of fickle people. Some I would dare say maybe even be in the church that are coming against the Lamb of God today. And as the church of Jesus Christ, we got to stay together. Friends, if I can read the signs in the sky, suffering is coming. Are you going with us? Are you going to walk with Jesus even in the tough times and all the things that could be happening in any other way? And I won't dare say what they are because I'm not a prophecy guy in that way. But I'm going to tell you, are you going to abandon Jesus like this crowd did? This is what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I want to be part of the faithful few. You see, I'm learning that results don't always matter. Faithfulness matters. Faithful people. And he says that there in verse 14, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. There have been so many moments in my life that I think have formed and shaped me. And in tough days, I just have to remember some of those moments. Years ago, I think it was my second year of college there in Olathe, Kansas. I went there to play football, and by playing football, I found Jesus. So praise football, I guess. And I gotta admit, I wasn't a Sunday school guy. I didn't go to Sunday school the way I should. Don Deal was actually one of my leaders. He was actually on staff there at College Church, always encouraging me to go to Sunday school. He's still encouraging me to go to Sunday school, and I don't go. But I remember a Sunday school class. Our new president of our college had been elected. His name was Don Owens, Dr. Don Owens. There he and his wife Adeline, just keep that picture up. I don't know who the dog is, but just keep that picture up. Dr. Don Owens became one of our general superintendents. Dr. Deal was here in the first service, by the way. Couldn't get out to speak yesterday, so he came to first service, he and Dorothy. And in our church, there are six general superintendents that were elected. He was elected right after he was president of the college that I went to at Mid-America. And he was addressing this Sunday school class on Sunday morning. And I went. And I listened to this godly man. And I knew him. I knew a little bit about him. But back then, preachers were different to me. I didn't get what they did. You know, they only worked a couple days a week, usually. So I didn't understand who they were. But he was a preacher to me. He was the president of our college. And he was teaching Sunday school with about probably 100 students came to see him. And he told the most amazing story that I still remember today. And as I wrote this sermon, I remembered it. He was a missionary to the Philippines, to Korea. He opened a lot of our work. He and Adeline, his wife, still live there in Olathe. But he told this story about maybe a decade before this, maybe in the 70s, maybe late 60s, and back when communication was much slower, of course. And our missionaries, they are people of God. They are out there on the front lines in tough conditions. And they were out in the field, I mean way out in the field. And one day, as they were just around their place where they live there in the mission field, somehow mail got to them finally. It would be 14 days before mail would be current, and they would some mail, and there was an envelope and a note that Dr. Owens read, and he walked into where his wife Adeline was sweeping the floor. They lived in an area that was incredibly dusty. Matter of fact, the dust was almost a purple kind of dust, and Adeline was trying to clean up their little home there where they served the Lord, and the note had informed them that Adeline, Mrs. Owens' father, had passed away. And the funeral was already over because they were on the field. And so Dr. Owens, and many of you have had these tender moments with your spouse, had the tragic news of, honey, you know, your dad passed away. And honey, the funeral's already taken place, and we can't go back. And I'm so sorry. And I remember him telling this story, and as a young man, it impacted my heart. And the faithfulness of these two people, and Adeline, this wonderful servant of God who's been by her husband's side all their ministry, he said she just started sweeping the floor again. And he said he began to see the tears begin to streak down her face through the dust, and it made these trails of sorrow, and she just kept sweeping the floor. And as a 19-year-old, very new Christian in Christ, that made an impact on me as how I want to be faithful to God. I want to be faithful to God. We want to be His, don't we? couple weeks ago, Karen Gunstream, one of our other wonderful lady pastors, was leading our Bible study in our staff. We have a staff chapel once a month. There could be 30 or 40 people there. And Karen was talking about Jesus in the garden with his men. And at one point, he becomes frustrated. And he comes out and says, "Couldn't you guys just be with me for 1 hour?" They were sleeping, you know. They were tired. And Jesus is facing all the hell of the earth. And he says, "Couldn't you just be with me 1 hour?" And Karen articulated with great anointing a point that I want to articulate in closing. Jesus calls us to be with him. What a privilege. Today, Jesus calls every single one of you to be with him, to walk with him, to be his. What a privilege to be called a child of the King. And all that Jesus really asks is that we'll be his. That we'll be his. Jesus chooses us by his grace. We don't have to give him a resume. You know, I've never been top choice really ever, I think. I don't think I was even Sherry's top choice. I don't think I think there was. I am now, though. But Jesus says, "I want you to be with me." He told those men, "I want you to be with me." And today Jesus says, "I want you to walk with me." He wants us to be his. That is the greatest privilege we could ever have. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah says, "I'm calling you. I'm calling you, faithful, faithful people." He wants us to be faithful followers of him. We're not fans of Jesus. Don't ever say, "I'm a fan of Jesus." I'm a follower of Jesus. And it thrills my heart. And Karen articulated this in a way that when the enemy of our soul, and by the way, I think in this time in my life, for whatever reason, I am so aware of the enemy, you know. I am so aware of the enemy's invasion of my life. At times, I'm so aware of the fact that the enemy comes against your soul. The devil prowls around, the Bible says, like a roaring lion looking for someone to what? Devour. And I'm reminded that when the enemy shows up, I need to remind the enemy, I'm with him. I'm with Jesus. See, every time the enemy and the demons showed up and they saw Jesus, what did they say? "Don't destroy me, O Holy One." The demons and the enemy recognizes the Holy One. And if we're with him, we're going to be fine. We're going to be his. We're going to walk with him. Called, chosen, faithful. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close our service with an experience that you're going to, God's really going to help us, and then I'll close the entire service. Jesus, I want to be yours, God. I am yours by your grace and by the power of the cross. And God, right now, I pray you'd bless this congregation, Lord, as once again we'll experience a human being's talent that is lifted to you. And God, whatever little talent that I may have or my brothers and sisters may have, we give it to you, God. And when the storms of life and the enemy shows up, Father, we're just going to remind the enemy that we're with you. So defeat everything in our life that is not from you, God. And we'll go and we'll tell this world that Jesus is alive. We love you today.